if you know how difficult it is, you know, returning to the top tier of English football. And yeah, it happened for the very first time in 75 years. Brentford made an impression as well on the Premier League. The Bees overcame what a lot of people thought was a bit of an alarming dip in terms of their form at the start of the season. But hey, 2022, the year itself, they were able to finish the campaign safely mid-table, upsetting both the odds and also establishing order to post several memorable results. Okay, let's, it's such an honor, in fact. It's not an ordinary guest. It's a great guest. It's somebody that we want to chat to because we can learn so much from. You might not have all the time in the world, but hey, Brentford FC CEO is here. John Varney, good evening. Welcome to Marawa Sports Worldwide and welcome to Durban.
Hello, Rob. Lovely to be here. And what a build-up that was. I'm not sure you're going to learn too much from me this evening, but let's give it a go.
Oh, man. I'm sure more than anything else, because all the hype, all the talk has been about the Hollywood Bets Durban July. From a racing perspective, these are your front of jersey sponsors who are at the front of the biggest racing date in the calendar. African horse racing, world horse racing, it is all here and you are here. How are you feeling about this weekend?
Oh, we can't wait. We're really, really excited about it. And I think that the thing that we're most excited about, all the fans are back in all the venues now, yeah, with the COVID restrictions. And, you know, sport has just not been the same without fans. Sport is a completely different thing when you don't have people in stadiums. Yeah. And, you know, I think we're just looking forward to celebrating, embracing and enjoying what will be a fantastic Hollywood Bets event.
I'm not going to use racing terminology, but more than most, how does it feel for Brentford to actually be featured on the day? Because there is a race specifically and especially for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a strange one for us.
Yeah.
We're normally knocking on the door of other parties to sponsor us, and now we're a sponsor. So we're just delighted our friends at Hollywood Bets have gifted us the Garden Stakes, and we're really looking forward to it. We've got some real horse racing fans at the Bees,
yeah,
and we're looking forward to what should be a fantastic day of racing.
Your outfit sorted?
Outfit's always sorted. I've got a special one for tomorrow. Don't you worry about that. With plenty of Bees ties to be given out to everybody.
I had a feeling that the Bees and the honey are going to mix and match at some point. And when you talk about the footballing side of things, and this is where Brentford silenced a lot of people. They always talk about coming into the Premier League and you struggle. First season, people aren't too sure. They've got to gauge you. But it can also work in reverse because a lot of people don't know and haven't really studied the way of play. How would you summarize the season and how it ended?
Look, I think it was a memorable season for everyone involved, yeah, with Brentford Football Club. You know, as you said earlier, I'll just correct you on that. It was 74 yeah, years since we were in the top yeah, flight, not 75. You've done us by a year there.
But, bring it back.
Yeah, exactly. But it was what a start we had, yeah, you know, opening the Premier League season on a Friday night, live on UK TV, live to the world, Brentford versus Arsenal, and we go and beat them 2-0. It was just an incredible night with so much emotion, both on the pitch and in the terraces. You know, it was a long, long time in the making. And, you know, I was saying to someone earlier today, we were one kick away from the Premier League the year before. Yeah. We lost in the playoff final to Fulham. And then we had to go again in the Championship and then got promoted into the Premier League. And to start the season against Arsenal at home, live to the world, was just a great occasion. And to come out winners was just incredible.
But we can't underplay that, though, John. Excuse me. The big move, yeah. It was emotional. Swansea at Wembley.
Yep.
That's the big moment that says we've made it. Now, a lot of the teams make the big mistake to say that is the major celebration, and yet it is that first game. That is the decider. That's going to kind of set the scene for what we can expect from a newly promoted team. But beating Arsenal, You know, regardless of what their form is, it's still traditionally Arsenal that we all know. Big team in the EPL. And to do it, clean sheet, two goals. Yep. What is your emotional state at the time?
I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
But it was a culmination of so much hard work from the owner, from the board, from the staff, from the fans. And the other thing that people forget, it was our first occasion in our brand new stadium.
Yes.
with supporters. You know, we'd gone through that horrific situation where we had to say goodbye to our old stadium, Griffin Park, that we were in since 1904. That was our home. And we had to say goodbye to it without fans in the stadium. So for the fans to not be able to say that goodbye to Griffin Park was just so yeah. difficult for them. And then we started the following season in the Championship in the new stadium when we couldn't let fans in. So the emotion of that night to start the Premier League season against Arsenal, full stadium, was immense. And it's funny, actually, but a lovely little story that I got a phone call at 12 o'clock the day of the Arsenal game from the Premier League, and they said, I think we've got a little problem here, that a couple of the Arsenal players have failed a COVID test. We're going to have to now retest the entire squad.
Wow.
And literally at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was waiting to find out whether they'd got through the test and we could play the game. And I got that phone call at 3 o'clock to say you're on. But it would have been horrific had we had to have called the game off with the world's media there, full stadium for our fans, opening game of the PL season. So, yeah. I think that the emotion at the end of the night was absolute relief
yeah.
that we've got through it all and we've got 3 points in the bank and we're on our way in the Premier League.
Oh, and what a start. I mean, that's the irony of a pandemic. You can't really control what's going to happen next. And we all know the world saw one of the very first managers or even people involved in football that put their hands up and said that they were COVID-19 positive was Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and everyone was like, oh, what's going to happen to him? But slowly and surely, those who tested positive were slowly coming back. And, you know, life kind of carried on as per normal, although there were many other different positive tests. But I'm glad that that game happened because we saw some magic on the field on that day. Let's quickly switch, though. I mean, we talk about Hollywood Bets. It's a pride and joy of South Africa right now, just given the way they've dominated many different spaces,
mm-hmm.
but have also turned people's lives right here in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, Durban especially. We recently had floods, and Hollywood Bets with the foundation, they were there helping the community. So they touch people in many different ways. As a football club and being associated with a company, has its roots right here in South Africa. I mean, how did that come about, and what's your sentiment about it moving forward?
It's funny, a lot of people think that Hollywood Bets arrived with Brentford the day we got promoted to the Premier League. That's not true.
Yeah.
They were a sponsor of ours and invested in Brentford Football Club when we were in the Championship. They were on the back of the shirt. We finally get to the land of milk and honey into the Premier League. And we need to find a replacement to go on the front of the shirt. We picked up the phone to our friends at Hollywood Bets and they just couldn't wait to get involved and be on the front of the shirt. And there were so many real synergies between us as an organisation and Hollywood Bets. You know, our three values at Brentford Football Club are about togetherness, mm-hmm. being progressive, and being respectful. And we see all three of those values in abundance with our purple friends.
That togetherness is something that we see. You know, we love the beautiful game of football so much that we see it. We hear it. Your coach talks post-match, pre-match. Whatever question is thrown at him, I never miss a beat of him not mentioning the word togetherness. Is that something that is pretty much inculcated in what the thread of this team is all about? Just given how they react, whether it's a defeat, it's victory, whatever it is, you see it literally permeate right through.
Yeah, I think it's not just what the team are about.
Yeah,
I think it's about what our whole football club is about. You know, you know, we're a football club that's come from humble beginnings, and it's taken us a long, long journey to get to the Premier League. And you know, along the way on that journey, we've had some pretty significant lows and the odd high. I think we're of all the clubs in English football, we've had the least successful playoff record. We've got to the final, or to use the racing analogy, we've got to the final fence, and we haven't quite got over it, but we managed to get over it this time. So, you know, I think that togetherness from our fans, that they've been through so many difficult times together. You know, the football club nearly went out of existence many years ago, and it was the fans that basically that fought to keep the football club alive. And the fans owned the football club for a long period of time. Bees United, one of our fan groups, then were looking for someone to come over and take over the football club and invest in it. And Matthew Benham, our owner, who is a lifelong Brentford fan, you know, had the wherewithal and the funds at his disposal to be able to do that. And, you know, under Matthew's stewardship, we've gone from strength to strength.
But they needed you for that strength to strength, both from building that community within the fans, both from building the community within the players, because you're quite vocal about the fact that I think you even posed the question, you know, do I choose the players? No. Am I the one that goes and puts out, you know, the team sheets or the formations? And the answer is no. But do you build a football club? Do you make sure that the balance sheet is 100%, that the team can survive? And that is literally your job. And when the club is going through difficult times, like you say, they were almost extinct, so to use a harsher word. But do you believe, though, that you found that turnaround, that equilibrium that can make you not only a team that is a bottom half of the table, but a team that starts to knock within the higher ranks?
About thrive, not just survive. I think if you try and go into survival mode, you're constantly looking over your shoulder. And if you keep looking over your shoulder, eventually you're going to get caught. So, you know, it's about having a very clear strategy, surrounding yourself with great people that believe in that strategy, and you give them both the opportunity and the investment to reach those objectives and deliver that strategy. And you know, we're very, very focused. I think we're a very honest football club. We know what we're good at, and we know what we're not good at. And the things that we're not so good at, we try and get experts in to come and help us. We know that we're not going to get it right all the time. You know, so you, absolutely, we're built on humility. And, you know, we know that we're in the most competitive league in the world, you know, of all the sports. We know we're up against some absolute Goliaths. And that we have to try and do things in a different way to them. And, you know, we can't outspend our opposition. So we have to try and do things in a different way. We're well known for the way that we use data to try and identify player talent. We're well known for our togetherness. And, you know, that's delivered through Thomas and all of the coaches at the training ground, but also everybody off the field. So, you know, it's about, you know, being very, very focused, but also accepting that you're not going to be perfect at everything.
But you also got to do things very much unconventionally. I know it garnered a lot of talkability about somebody who's going to be taking care of making sure that the players are physically fit. You know, somebody who in Fiji has his face on their banknotes and their coins and so on. You know, somebody who has very strong leanings towards rugby. But you make a decision like that. You make a call because he's not pigeonholed in terms of just doing that. He is about athletes. But you also want your athletes, which are the football players, to be in peak condition. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think it's about having diversity within the organisation. you know, and Ben comes from outside of the football world, and sometimes if you just bring the same style of people into an organisation, then you carry on doing things the way that it's been done forever. And actually, by having a more diverse workforce, by bringing people in from different backgrounds, you have challenging thinking. And then when you start to challenge each other with your thinking, you start to make better decisions. And you know, we've got every confidence that Ben will bring something different. Yeah. And you know, we're very lucky to have him. But it's not just Ben we're lucky to have. We've got a phenomenal staff throughout the organisation that you know are incredibly dedicated. We know that, you know, we're probably resource light compared with other clubs in the Premier League, both on and off the field. Yeah. But it kind of makes us very focused, and it gives everybody probably that little bit more responsibility than maybe some other clubs where you're quite pigeonholed in the roles and responsibilities that you have. So yeah, we're really happy with the people we've got around us.
I know you use the word resource light, but you also had to more than double up the staff component, because running a professional team is crazy. I mean, I saw Pep Guardiola when he was recognizing a staff at the end of you know, the season, and they all came on. It was almost like 40 people that are just backroom staff that work with them, not even talking about the technical team yet. And I understand, yes, there's always a big gap, but you do things the way Brentford wants to do things, so that you keep on being a part of the Premiership. Now, even financially, if I'm not mistaken, you were sitting at something like £7 million, and then you propel yourself into over £100 million stakes within the English Premier League. It could be a whole lot more. How important is that to ensure and make sure that every person within that staff room, including the players, recognize that anything less than that probably affects their careers 1,000%?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that the staff
room, including the players,
Championship Football Club. I think our central monies that we used to get from the EFL, who ran the game below the Premier League, was around about £7.5 million a year. And then when we got to the land of milk and honey that I said earlier, I think our central payments from TV and sponsorship was over £100 million. So, but you know, the reality is your cost base also goes up quite a bit, Rob.
Sure.
You know, you have to pay your players a little bit more, and you know, so that don't worry, it's not all profit. It gets ploughed straight back in.
And I fully understand, because you've had to make some very tough decisions, and those involved with, especially in South Africa, we believe in, there's going to be academies. Especially if you're a football team in the Premier League, there's got to be an academy. There's got to be an academy. But you had to take a decision where it wasn't just about the academy, having to do away with that, but make sure that you have what they would call a B team that props up and is part of the culture every day. Go to dinner, you're part and parcel of the first team as well. I think talk us through that, because I always found it very fascinating how you're able to tread that line but still get the results at the end of the day without having to go through the academy route.
I think just for us in our environment, being in London, very competitive in terms of having the Chelsea's, the Arsenal's, the Tottenham's, the West Ham's, the Fulham's, Queen's Park Rangers, so many teams in London, trying to take a, when we were in the Championship and you know, didn't have the financial resources that we now have in the Premier League, trying to take a player from sixth to first team is really quite challenging. And so we created a model, and it was done by a guy called Rob Rowan, who was our technical director. And tragically, Rob died at the age of 28. He was an inspiration around the football club. Rob and our directors of football and Matthew, our owner, decided on a model where we would create a B team and start to look at players that were perhaps a little bit older, 17, 18, that had been in other people's academies and had been released from those academies because those clubs didn't think they were going to quite make it. And our view was, maybe able to unearth some gems there that maybe hadn't quite matured, weren't quite ready for first team football environment, and that we could kind of upskill them and work with them and turn them into first team footballers. Because the likelihood that those clubs may have missed the odd gem was much greater that we could take them into first team than take a kid from the age of six all the way into our first team. So, you know, our decision to go down the B team route was as much born out of, we just didn't have the financial resources to have a bells and whistles academy at that point in time. But now we're in a very different place. So we'll keep our B team, but we are now looking at having an academy from the start of next season, because we have the financial resources to invest in that. And we're currently going through that process. And also the reality is we have to have an academy now if we want to play in Europe. And our ambition is to play in Europe.
There's another person's ambition to play in Europe, Christian Eriksen. The world is abuzz. You gave him a chance. Nobody thought, I didn't think, after seeing what I saw. And I think he and I have something in common in terms of cardiovascular disease. But I looked at that as a hero returning back to do what he does best.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice to keep him. Man United wants to have a little bite at him.
Well, I'd like to correct you. I'm not sure we have a choice to keep him. We'd like to keep him. But first of all, Rob, I'd really want to just congratulate you, because it's taken you 25 minutes to mention Christian Eriksen. And normally, anyone that meets me for the first time asks me about Christian Eriksen within about 30 seconds. So congratulations, you've won an award tonight. We'll get Hollywood Bets to present you a prize later.
Okay, before we get to the prize, because I've got 60 seconds left. Give me a 60 seconds worth of an answer in terms of where will he land?
I genuinely don't know. It's in the very, very capable hands of our director of football and our technical director. They are the guys that have continued to bring great players into Brentford. And I'm sure they're talking to Christian. Of course, we want Christian to stay. You know, he really has made a huge impact in the side. But, you know, he's just one component of a fantastic squad. I think people talk a lot about when Christian came into the side, how our fortunes changed. And yes, of course they did. You know, you drop a world-class player into any side, it's going to improve them.
Yeah.
But we also had a period where, you know, we struggled with injuries. We lost our goalkeeper, David Raya, who's a real influence in the side. And when David came back, our fortunes improved. So, you know, it's not the Christian Eriksen show. Of course, we'd love Christian to stay, but that decision is down to Christian.
But what do you think it will take, though? Just very quickly, as we wrap things up, what do you think it will take for him to consider staying?
I think we're going to put everything we can in front of Christian to try and make him stay, but ultimately it's his call, isn't it? And him along with his family, you know, I think the fans have really taken Christian to heart. They love him to bits. I know that he enjoys being in our squad. He's clearly known to Thomas. You know, Thomas Frank coached him at the age of 17 and... you know, work with him in the Danish under 17 side. He's playing alongside some fellow Danes, and hopefully we'll make the World Cup squad with them. So, listen, all we can do is make it a really difficult decision for Christian to say no. But I'm sure we're going to know very soon.
All right. I love that. You know what? Let's go have fun tomorrow. The whole country is waiting for...
What's your outfit tomorrow? You've asked me about my outfit. What's your outfit?
I keep it very plain. I'm playing Joe. I really do. But there's a touch of honey and a bee in the outfit.
Is there?
Yeah, I had to.
Rob, I don't have you down as a plain Joe, I have to say. I'm sure you're going to surprise us with something quite spectacular.
I can try. There's only one superstar in the studio. That's the gentleman that's just walked in to read our news, Pilar Duma. I don't know what he's going to be wearing. He told me secretly that he'll keep it traditional, whatever that means. But John, thank you so much for coming through. I really love the conversation. Let's meet soon.
Good to be here, and good luck with the racing tomorrow, and I wish everybody a really successful Hollywood's bet tomorrow.
Beautiful stuff.